You know, anytime there's something foundationally or, you know, fundamentally that's wrong or you're trying to perfect, sometimes the best thing to do is to go back to basics. You can take any sport, you can take a musician, you can take anything that has practicality to it. And if you want to get back to doing something with excellence, there are certain foundational steps you have to walk, and there's certain things you have to understand and basic principles you have to build upon in order to get yourself from A to Z in excellency. Now, the reason why we do it that way is so that way we know that there are people behind you that can follow you and follow the same steps. That's why when God made his word, he made it flawless. It has foundations with principles. It says we're supposed to do line upon line, precept upon precept. Why? Because you have to take each individual step that leads and guides you. You know, you don't start opening up your Bible to the book of Revelation and start reading. You're going to be so confused, you're not going to have a clue what's going on. So you need to understand basic principles. Well, not just the stories of the Bible, but the way God puts your life together through the Bible. There is a way he teaches that in steps, and the way that you grow in order. Like, you don't go to a high school class when you're in third grade. That would be silly. So sometimes we have to just be okay with walking, you know, I mean crawling before we walk, walking before we jog, and jogging before we run. So sometimes, you know, we want the deep stuff, and we want those heavy revelations, and sometimes those are okay, but what good are they if you don't have the basic foundational principles to understand what it is that we're even talking about? See, it's great to know about these things, and I love to hear the revelations and teach the revelations so you will know about them. But it does no good to know about them if you can't operate in them. And so I want to just start to delve in, and I just want to, if you will, I want to just begin to just kind of lay this out, and I want to just take you down a path here, and I want you to just start saying some things, and I want to start building upon some basic principles. So let me say this. I'm going to start out with making a pretty sound statement here. It may shock you a little bit, but setting your faith is not believing God for something. Y'all are looking at me saying, what are you talking about? Let me finish. Setting your faith is not believing God for something. It's aligning your life with the will of God. So, oh, I believe God for a new car. I believe God for that. Well, you can believe all you want, but you better align your life with the will of God, because it's a fight of faith. We're fighting to stay in faith. And to stay in faith, you have to be in the will of God to be in that fight, or you're going to get your eyes beat out. So when you step out of that will and start getting other desires involved and start getting other things involved and you start believing God for those things, that's when you bring problems into your life. So number one thing you need to do is align your life with the will of God, and the only way you can do that is to line it up with the Word of God. So faith will always bring you back to aligning with the Word of God. If you align with the Word of God, then that it's not you producing. It's not something that's even being produced through you. It's actually the will of God being done through your life. So these statements, these precepts, these things we'll talk about, these concepts, we talk so much about, oh, I want to do this for God, and I want to do that for God. I want to change our dialect. I don't want you to say that anymore, what you want to do for God. What I want you to do is what God wants to do through you. Because what you want to do for God may not be what God wants to do through you. We want to do a lot for God, but is that really what God called you to do? It's going to be a long day. Listen, I have to challenge you to where we're living, because this is why we get so mixed up. It's why we get so confused in our faith. Well, I was believing God for this and it didn't happen. Well, maybe you shouldn't have been believing for that. Because the thing you were believing for probably was going to lead you down a road of destruction you didn't need to go down anyway. And if you'd have went down that road, you'd have had to been believing God for something else to get you out of the problem that you believed to get into. So, can I say this? For an order for God to bless you, there's some preparation that's necessary. So there's some things that you're required to do from you, and there's some things you need to maybe start doing that you're not doing, or maybe stop doing some things that you're doing. There may be some things that you need to change and some things that need to shift. So what we need at this point, if you can agree, is we kind of need a life alignment, okay? So if we keep doing what we did in the last season, expecting something different in the new season, come on, at some point we got to ask ourselves, what are we doing? What are we doing? We need some things to change. How many people need some things to change? I need some things to change. Yeah, so you should be able to look at your life at any point in time based on where you are and what you're doing. You should be able to see where you need spiritual breakthrough and where you need transformation to occur. At any point. But the problem is we need spiritual breakthrough. We need transformation, but we haven't prepared for either one. I'll let you think on it for a minute. So here's where I want to start. I want to start with the most basic of all principles. If you never get another principle, you have to start with this one. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in me. Start there. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. But this, it's just greater is he that is in me. So listen to me. Whatever is in you is on you. Okay, how many people like Galatians 6 where it says put on the full armor of God? Okay, until you put the word in you, you can't put the armor on you. You can't put on a helmet of salvation until salvation is in you. You can't put a belt buckle of truth around your waist until truth is in you. It can't be on you. So you can't put something on until first you put it in. Now listen, I know this sounds like, wow, this is so basic. Is it really? Are we doing this? Because we say, put on the full armor of God. Okay, I'm putting on my helmet of salvation and I'm putting on the breastplate of righteousness. You can try putting stuff on all you want. And it's like a costume until you put it in. When it becomes in you, it becomes armor. Because what's in you is what is, say it, on you. Romans 12 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Say transformed by the renewing of your mind. That transformation has to happen. But guys, listen, we don't talk about it enough. We don't talk enough about the transformation. We're always talking about these things that we're doing, but we're not talking about what's happening inside. Because until it changes inside, it's not going to show up on the outside. We're focused on too many things on the outside, trying to fix everything from the outside in. We're trying to call those things that are not as though they are. How about calling something in here to change so something out there could be made different? If you want to call for something, call for change in here. I'm preaching real good right now, I'm just telling you. Colossians 3:10. It says, and have put on a new self. A new self means the old self has got to go, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of the Creator. So once again, as knowledge is coming in, something else is coming out. Something on the inside changing on the outside. You can't put something on until you first put something in. Do we all agree that? Now here's where the problem begins to start. Watch. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm not trying to, you know, make bad waves or something, but we've got to talk about a few things. The churches in America have shifted. We used to talk about spiritual authority. Now we're talking about cultural relevance. Let's talk about it. So we put that in our people. And then, now look around, we just look like everybody else. Works great, grows big churches, but what's the cost? Where is the Spirit-filled church? Do you understand That the Spirit-filled church is the one who has access to the heavenly realm. Do you understand that that's what gives us our authority? Not only do we have authority, but with the authority, we get dominion. You don't get dominion through cultural relevance. No one wants to talk about it. I want to talk about it. The question is, do you want to thrive or do you want to survive? Now, spiritual authority is teaching the church how to thrive. Cultural relevance is teaching it how to survive. Well, we got to survive in our culture. People won't accept us. Where does that come from? Some folks say, well, we're worried that we won't be accepted in our culture. I disagree. Let me tell you something. If I walk into a hospital and it's your loved one in that bed and I declare healing over that body and that person gets up and walks out of that hospital healed, I think that's culturally relevant. Yeah. If I cast a devil out of somebody's child that's causing them seizures and causing them sickness and problems, I think that's culturally relevant. If we go longer than 30 minutes in a service because the Holy Spirit is moving and manifesting in His presence, lives are being changed and healed and restored, I think that's relevant. If the power of God is moving so powerfully in your body that it brings tears of unspeakable joy and it begins to tremble under the power because it's so magnificent, it might not look pretty. It might take you a little bit out of your comfort zone. But you cannot deny the fact that it is real. And when that person is changed and they reconnect with those old relationships with renewed vision, because all of the pain and the rejection and the hate and the hurt comes off of their life, I'm sorry, but I think that's culturally relevant. In 2 Timothy 5:3, the Bible speaks of a day when there will be a form of godliness, but they will deny the power thereof. That's today. It's all just, well, let's talk about the love of God and let's just focus on our fellowship, but we don't want to talk about the other stuff that stirs the pot. I want to talk about it. I need to talk about it. Oh, I know what we need. We need more lights and more smoke. We're trying to outlight and outsmoke everybody. Man, I just want to see the power of God moving and quit talking about it. Guys, we've got to change our paradigm. We need a paradigm shift. How can we change the world if we don't change first? How can you change something when you are the same as the thing you're trying to change? Y'all gonna have to help me this morning. You have to be the change. But you can't be the change until you know who you are. So watch this. I affect the world more by who I am than what I do. Because who I am already says what I will do. And you can't know who you are until you know whose you are. So I'm a child of God, and that makes me different. So I'm not going to be like everybody. You're not going to be like everybody else. The Bible says to think differently. Jesus said, think differently, for the kingdom of heaven is him. I'm not here to change the world. Watch this. Watch this way of thinking. I'm not here to change the world. The fact that I'm here means the world's going to change. Do you understand? When you walk in a room, you don't hope for change. When you walk in a room, you are the change. The change happened the moment you walked in the room. The dominion is with you. The authority is with you. You are the one who has the power to change the room. It will change just because you're there. Your workplace will be different because you are there. Not because what you're saying, doing, think. No, because you are there, and greater is he that's in you, and greater is you that's in that place, and that will be resonating through that place, and that place cannot stay the same. Not because of what you do, but because of who you are. We're getting too focused again on what we got to do and all the things we have to say and all the things. No, it's who you become in Christ Jesus that makes the difference. When Jesus came, it wasn't as much as what he was saying as who he was. When the demons saw Jesus, they weren't paying attention to what he was saying. They're like, oh, why do you come to suffer us before our time? They saw who he was. When the sons of Sceva got run out, they were trying to say and do things. Who are you? Paul, I know. Jesus said, who are you? You have to be. Greater is he in me. So you need more of God in you. That's the problem. We're not putting enough God in us. We want to put God around us. I'm going to talk about it. We want to put nice things around us. We want to put people who are talked to as sweet and are kind. We want to do things that are fun and exciting. We just want to be loved. What are you putting inside? You're trying to build your world from the outside in, and you have to build it from the inside out. If you don't build it from the inside out, nothing from the inside is going to come from the outside, and there's going to be no change. I'm just pointing at some things today. We have to change our paradigm. My father, your father, not only lets us rule his kingdom, he gave us keys. He gave us keys to it. He said, I will give you the keys to the kingdom. And there is a key to unlock every spiritual blessing in this kingdom. There are keys to bind, and there are keys to loose. Anybody have any financial problems here? There are keys for finance. If you have a financial issue. If you have two keys will work like magic. One, tithe. Bring me the tithe and see. He says, watch. Just do it and see if I don't pour out the windows of heaven upon you. See it. Just try it. Do it. Go ahead, I dare you. God dares you to take that key and open it up. Go ahead and tithe. How many people want a bountiful blessing? All right, then you got to do Corinthians. You have to do it. You got to sow. And if you sow bountifully, that's a key. Turn your finances around overnight. You can pray all you want. That's not the key. You can fast all you want. Fasting doesn't change the finance. That's not the key. You got the wrong key in the wrong place. You're trying to unlock a blessing, and we wonder why we're so confused. Well, I've been asking God. I've been praying. Well, why don't you use the keys he gave you and quit wasting his time? You know how frustrating it is if my child came to me and said, Dad, I need to get into the house because I'm hungry. And I said, okay. Here's your key, son. I get to work. Dad, I'm hungry. Can you give me something to eat? Son, just go in the house. 10 minutes later, Dad, I'm starving. I'm wasting away over here. Son, take the key, open the house to go into the refrigerator and get what you need. And that's what we're doing to God every day. We're going, oh, God, please help me, bless me. I need finance. Oh, God, meet my need. Use the keys. Bring the tithe into the storehouse. So, basics. And it's not going to change until you do. You can speak it. You can try to call it. It ain't going to happen until you use the key. See, we'll try to call that thing into being, and we'll try to speak to it, all right, and then some money will show up. And what do? Instead of sowing it, you eat your seed. Oh, I got some money. No, that's your seed. You should have sowed it. There's keys to unlock healing. You can do a Mark 16, 17, and 18. You can lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. You can call the elders up. We can anoint you with oil, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. Why? Because those are keys. Now, you can pray, you can leave, you can fast, you can do all of that, and all those things are great, and they may get you closer to God and all, but are those the keys to healing? Now, there's a lot more. I could get into responsibility and things and taking care of your temple and all that, but he gave us some keys. And the problem is we're walking around with strongholds and we're not unlocking the keys and we're staying bound up in the things that we should be loosed in. Am I talking to anybody today? Watch this. He gave you a key to bind depression and anxiety. Every time I poll a church audience, I say, how much depression and anxiety we have? Almost every hand in the room goes up. And he gave us keys. Be anxious. Philippians 4, he gave us a prescription. Be anxious for nothing. But in every, he said, just let your requests be known. In the Old Testament, he said, cast your cares upon him. I don't know how you want to say it. In other words, quit trying to carry it yourself. Take it to him. See, you're worrying about it. When he says, don't worry about tomorrow, tomorrow will take care of itself. So we have to hear his word, and then we have to believe his word, and then align ourselves with that word. That's faith. Not just believing God. God, heal me. No. You can't just believe God to heal you. You have to believe that his word says, if I do a Mark 16, 18, or I get laid down in James 5, and I get my hands laid on by an elder, anointing me with oil, that I will be healed, and I align myself with that, and I do it. Are you following me? So, depression. It's a spirit of heaviness. He says, make an exchange. What does he say to do? Exchange the spirit of heaviness for a garment of praise. See, some of y'all praying, some of y'all talking, some of y'all complaining. What you need to do is get your praise on. See, you think the front end of the service is filler till everybody can kind of get in, and it's like an intermission until everybody can get ready for the message, you know. This isn't entertainment. We're not in the entertainment industry. Somehow the church has moved into that. And if the music's not just right, I don't want to go to that church. I want to go to another one. We got great music here. But that's not what's going to change your life. And whether it's good praise or it's bad praise, if we're on key or we're off key, if we're hitting the keys right, if we're off beat or on beat, it doesn't matter. It's how you engage with heaven. We're just here to lead you into a spirit of worship, but what you do with it is dependent upon you because it's got to get in you. If praise is in you, it gets on you, and if praise is on you, the old garment comes off, and the new one, you put it on, but you can't put it on until first you put it in. You see people out here shouting. They're out there going like this. You go, what are they doing? They're putting praise in, and then you see something getting on them. When you see somewhere like this and they're going like this, they got the heaviness on them because nothing's getting in them. Oh, I can walk into praise and worship service and tell exactly who's going to be touched and who's not. The ones I see with their hands raised, tears coming down their eyes, see praise is getting in. They're putting praise in. So what's in them now is on them. What is on them? You just see the heaviness being lifted, full of peace and joy and happiness, and they're free again. You came in here bound and you left loose. Why? Because you used one of your keys. Church, we used to walk in this building, and when you pulled up on campus, the hair would stand up on your neck because people came in with expectancy. The first drop of the hammer, that sign, man, people were into praise and worship. Sometimes I didn't even get to preach. I want to talk about it. But even in the kingdom with keys, they don't work unless you apply them. When you apply the keys, it accesses the unseen realm to release the blessing, into the seen realm. Do you understand that? Listen, I'm going to give you a revelation, and I want you to hear this. Faith is not creating things from things that don't exist. See, you think that when you need something, you need God to make you a blessing. He needs to invent you a blessing. Now, God, I need this thing. I need you to make this for me. I don't have time to go back into it now, but remember before he knew you before the womb. Remember that meeting you had, that he knew you, he had to know you somewhere. Why? Because he had a plan for your life. He says you were predestined. He laid your life out. He laid out everything you would ever need. If the times you would need it, then you would have to use the keys to get the access to the things that he gave you if you aligned your life with his word. Right? That's predestination. Predestination isn't automatically you're just going to do everything and you're a robot. That's not predestination. Predestination means you had a plan for your life. You have a purpose. It's laid out. Your steps are ordered. But you can go out of, or you can walk out of that order anytime you choose. As many of us have and many of us do. The grace of God that puts us right back in the path again. So those things are there. You just can't see them. Because they came from an unseen realm. The world was framed by the word of God and are not made of the things which do appear. That's what the books of Hebrews says. It's not from the things that appear. It's from the unseen realm. Say it. Say, my blessing comes from the unseen realm. So when you're working in faith, you're not believing God to do something that doesn't exist. Can you understand that? Do you understand that? What you're saying is you're trying to move things from one realm to another. They're already here. You've got to move them from one realm into another. So you have to walk by faith, not by sight. Things that are known, not from things that are seen. I hope I'm helping somebody here today. And you have to understand that God lives in the now. Your future and your past has already been established. So faith responds to the now. Remember when Lazarus died? When Lazarus died, Mary's like, oh, if you would have been here, he would have been healed. And she tries to ease her conscience, and I know in the future we'll be reunited with him again. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life now. Lazarus, come forth. In other words, woman, do you even know who you're talking to? You're not talking to someone who failed you, that has some backup plan down the road because this plan failed. He said, I'll fix it right now. My timing's not off. I'm revealing the glory of God, woman. I'm the resurrection life now. I'm the same yesterday. I'm the same today. I'll be the same forever. And every time I show up in your life, it'll be because I need to show up at that time to do that thing, to change that thing, to make your life right. Lazarus, come forth. Even if it means resurrecting a dead person. Whew. Faith engages at the moment it's released. Now, faith is. We need to understand, first of all, who we are. And that will establish what we do. We're in a fight of faith. You understand? It's a good fight. Why? Because we win. But it's still a fight. We have to understand that we have keys, but we also have weapons. 2 Corinthians 5:4, said the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, listen to this. They have divine power to demolish strongholds. The weapons God has given us have the power to demolish the stronghold. Do you know what a stronghold is? Anything that is holding or keeping you from preventing you from receiving God's blessing. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want anything holding up the blessings that God has for my life. I don't want anybody causing problems in my life. I don't want bad things coming to me, all because I fail to use the weapons that God gives me. I understand there are times I have to walk through trials. I understand there's times that I have to go through tribulation, because God says everything will be tested to see what manner of work it is. I'm okay with walking out my trials and tribulations. What I'm not okay with is walking through life allowing an enemy to come in and take things from me when God gave me weapons to keep him away, and I'm not using them. When an enemy can deceive my mind and not let me understand that I have blessings that I can loose and things I can bind with keys I have because I'm too ignorant to know how to use them. I can't live that way. The church has got to get back to what we know, what we are promised, what we are supposed to do. You have keys, but you also have weapons. I can hold a pistol up all day long. All day long can be loaded, full of firepower, but until I pull that trigger, that power cannot be released, and it's just another weapon. The Bible tells us, Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Even tells what it'll do. It said, my God, it'll even go down to piercing asunder, dividing the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. Man, there's nothing going to be hidden when you pull that weapon out. So powerful. But what good is the sword if you leave it in the sheath? It's a weapon. Use it. James 2:18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. In other words, I'll show you my faith by what I do. I'm not doing it to show off. I'll show you my faith by what I do. In other words, I do what I believe. For as a body is apart from the spirit is dead, also faith apart from works is dead. What good is this word if we don't act on it? Amen? Now don't raise your hand, but how many of you would say that you've been believing God for some things and you've been asked in a lot? So my question is, I know every hand in here would go up because you've been asking God a lot. But now I'm going to ask you the harder question. What are you doing about it? Because asking's not going to change it. Doing's going to change it. I'm giving you keys, and I'm giving you weapons. What are you going to do with them? You have to understand that when faith is released, the change has already occurred. Now, you may not see it, but it's already occurred. So then, once you make the change, you need to go ahead and react, and you need to respond. And you need to move by faith and your authority, not by what you see. You just have to move by faith. You have to trust that when you release the key, when you release the weapon, that what it says will already be done, and then you react and act accordingly. That's how you align yourself with the will of God. That's how you fight in faith. You understand? You've heard me say this before. It's one of my cliches. Faith doesn't have a backup plan. So what we'll do
is we'll go to the doctor and we'll get a diagnosis, migraine headache. And we'll say, okay, I can believe God for that. God, you said I could lay hands on this. And you start believing. But just in case, on the way home, you stop by the drugstore and you get a bottle of Tylenol or ibuprofen. And you put that in the cabinet just in case. Just in case your prayer doesn't work. Now, we wouldn't say that, but that's what we really do. And so then, God, please, release that migraine headache. Meanwhile, that bottle of Advil is in there laughing. The devil is laughing. Because he knows it's just a matter of time before you go to the backup plan. Hear me one last time. Faith doesn't have a backup plan. I'll say it again. Faith doesn't have a backup plan. So let's condense this all down to kind of some basic principle. You have keys to get blessings. You have weapons to defend yourself against a thief who's trying to steal your blessings. Remember, I opened up with putting on the whole armor of God. What's in you is on you. So say it. I want you to say this. Say, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Greatness lives in me, and that makes me great. So what's in me is on me. Greatness is on me because greatness is in me. My armor is on me because he is in me. My sword is drawn. It's dividing and destroying the strongholds of my enemy. My purpose is defined by who I am, because I know whose I am. He gave me the keys that are the keys to my future. So I'm going to use them to unlock doors that no man can close. I'm going to lose blessings to add benefit to myself and all of the people I can affect by my faith. Now, if you believe that, I want you to give God some praise this morning. Now, if you really, really believe it by faith, I want you to give God a real praise this morning. We've got to get back to doing these basic principles. There's still power in the blood of Jesus. There's still power in that name. We've got to get back to where faith doesn't have a backup plan. Come on, church, we got to get back to pressing into God so much in praise and worship until the power of God comes in and overwhelms us with his glory. Church, we've got to get back to the basics of life. Power, the glory of God, and through living a life after Christ. Can you give him praise this morning? This is why I wanted to do this intro coming into this new year. How many of you here were the services where we made the shift? We went ahead and took a step. We went through that next door. Remember I told you? Paul said that every door, if there's a hardship, there's an enemy, remember? I took a step. I've been dealing with it's kind of funny. I've been dealing with a pinched nerve. I've never had sickness in my life. Got a pinched nerve, an eye infection, and I rammed a splinter all the way up into my bed. I'm probably going to have cut out. Praise the Lord. Because at every door, there's an adversary. And it's the last thing that stands between you and the next season. And those little piddly things that stand between me and my next season, are just a token of what God has blessing on the other side. So I consider it all glory. I consider it all praise. So somebody said the other day to me, they said, when things start happening, do you think maybe we're doing something wrong? I said, no, I think it's because we're doing something right. And listen, it's going to be okay, because you're about to step into your next season. And the enemy already knows it. And there's really nothing he can do about it. So you just walk through it and you keep giving God praise. I'm getting better every day. I feel great right now. Yeah, my voice is a little strained. My eye burns a little bit. So what? That's a very small price to pay for what God has on the other side. To whom much is given, much is required. So listen, we're all going to be okay. We're all going to get through this, because we all go and we all go together. That's our strength. Now we're about to walk into a fantastic season. You're going to see we have a great season. That's why I could not wait till the beginning of the year to preach this intro. How many people agree we need this now? I pray to God you'll go back and you'll listen to this over and over and over, because these are the fundamental basics. You want your life changed? You want to see power come into your life and come back into this church like we've never seen? You want to see a wave of glory hit this place and consume a town? Just do what we talked about today. That's where I'm living right. It's what I'm focusing on. It's what I'm meditating on. Everything you just saw right here. Day and night, I'm meditating on that in the Word. And that's what's pulling me through. That's what's getting me through this next part. So I'm telling you, I'm just throwing you out the same life rafts that he's throwing to me. So as a church, please, there's no way you're going to listen to that one time. That took me over 30 hours to dig out. You're not going to come up with that and just hit it one time and get it. You got to get it in you, because it can't get on you until first it gets in you. So please, I'm challenging you. Go back and get this word on the inside of you. How many did that help today? Now, if you don't mind, before I even give the altar call, I just need to pray for you. So I want everyone to lift their hands. Now I want you to receive from heaven right now. Father, I call upon your holiness. I call upon your greatness. And I ask you to deliver your spirit of excellence, your spirit of truth, your spirit of holiness into each and every one of your chosen vessels here today. God, we surrender our hearts empty to you. We ask you to pour into us as vessels so we can pour out unto others. Lord, we ask you to put in us what needs to be on us. Lord, you dress us like the lilies in the field. Lord, please empower us to do the things that you called us to do. Give us awareness of the things that we need to be proactive in doing. Lord, help us to be able to be secure and to know and to be true to the calling that you put upon each and every one of our lives. God, I pray that nothing will stand in the way of what you've called us to do. I pray that no hardship, no distraction of any kind can come against us in this season, Lord. I ask you to bless them through the holidays, so when they reach their families and their loved ones and their friends, Lord, that they'll be renewed with strength, that they'll be able to minister your word and represent you with grace and elegance, Lord Jesus. I pray for the love of God to overwhelm and consume every person here, that there's no loneliness for those of you who have lost loved ones and you have to come into a holiday season without that loved one. Remember, he was in the loved one. He was all the good that was in your loved one. And he never leaves you. He never forsakes you. And all of the goodness you had in that loved one is still with you, because it's tied up in him. And I pray, God, that this would be the most satisfying set of holidays that we've ever had, as we come in to celebrating your birth. Lord, you're the reason for everything we do. We want to keep you the center of our focus. We won't be hindered, even though we'll have fun with things like Santa Claus and snowmen and trees, but we will never forget the reason for this season. So as we celebrate with our families, as we celebrate with our friends, as we enter into this next part of the season, transitioning into a brand new year, help us, Lord, to better define ourselves with the message that was brought today so we can have the basics to be able to do what you've called us to do as a church. Call us together stronger as brothers and sisters. Lord, help us to be the ecclesia that you've called us to be, to do what you've called us to do right here in the Wiregrass area, Lord. And we will settle for nothing less than your best in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. I pray a blessing over everybody in this sanctuary. And as a bishop of this house, I pray the blessing of this house upon you and your family. Now, if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus into your life, there will be no better time than the present. We just have to know that if you're here, that you got an opportunity to do what all of us have had the opportunity to do, and that is to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Some of you may have known about Jesus, but you haven't said, Lord, I want you to be the Lord of my life. So if that's you today, or and you'd like to give your life to Jesus, I want to give you the opportunity. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out or anything like that. I just like to know who you are, because in a moment we're all going to pray. And I just like to know who's praying with me and who I'm praying for. So, you know, Jesus wasn't ashamed to die for you in public, so you should not ever be ashamed to receive him in public. It's the greatest thing you'll ever do in your life. It's the greatest day of your life. So if you're here today and you've heard something that changed you and you know that you need greater to live on the inside of you because you need change, if that's you, can I just see your hand today? Just raise your hand and say, that's me, Pastor. Thank you for that hand. Anyone else? Thank you for that hand. Thank you, being honest. Anyone else? Just looking around. Anybody else, just by raising your hand? Thank you for that hand. Thank you, sir, for being honest. Thank you, ma'am, for being honest. Okay, you can put your hands down now. Now, the next one is if, and sometimes I don't even know how it happens, but we just stray away from the Lord. We love God, but man, things start happening in our life. Next thing you know, we're living like we shouldn't be living, or maybe we're just away from the Lord. Maybe we're not doing anything bad, but we're just not connected with him. If that's you today and you're like, man, today I want to make a reconnection. Yeah, you know, I heard the Lord today and I want to come back. I want to get strong in a relationship again. Can I see those hands today? Can I just see those hands? Oh, thank you for those hands. Thank you for the hands. Thank you for the hands. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, everybody can put your hands down. Now what I want to do is I want to do exactly what I said. I want us all to pray together. Because in Romans 10, can I have a drink there? In Romans 10 and 9, the Bible says that if you'll believe that he is the Lord, and basically everything you heard today is true, and you confess that with your mouth, it says you'll be saved. And that word saved is a big word there, sozo. It means healed and restored in every part of your life. Man, who doesn't want that? So what you're about to do is when you make this prayer of faith and you confess it, you're exchanging all of your life for all of his glory. And so your life is about to radically change. And so what we're going to do is we're going to say the prayer and we're all going to pray together. It's not important to hear me pray. It's not important that you hear the people around you pray. It's important that you hear yourself making that proclamation of faith. So right now, let's all bow our heads, repeat after me. Say, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus and ask you to come into my heart. Fill me, cleanse me, make me every whit whole. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. And I believe God raised you from the dead. Therefore, I'm a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new in my life. I am a child of God. Heaven is my home. And you are my Lord. For it's in Jesus' name I believe it and confess it. And now that settles it. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, put your hands together right now. I celebrate every one of you that made a choice today. It's the best decision of your life. And one thing we do not want to do, we do not want to forget our brothers and sisters out there who don't have the same relationship we do. Let's not get so busy in our day that we forget about the condition of the other people's souls around us. We may have really good friends. They may be full of happiness and joy, but they may not have Jesus. So it's not true joy, and it's not lasting. So please, let's not get so busy in our days that we forget to reach out to the people around us. Now listen, I want you to understand this. This is the time when you have to start looking outside of your four and no more. It's time we start reaching the lost. Do you know how we reach them? One at a time. So I want to ask you next week, who are you going to bring to church? Wednesday night, are you going to bring yourself to church? Tuesday night on Thanksgiving night. But on Tuesdays and this week and then the following, when we go to Wednesday nights and we start doing, are you coming on Wednesday? Are you reaching out to people on Wednesday? I know there's a million other things you could be doing on Wednesday night, but how are you going to get something in you to get on you if you're not here to get it? We used to have church Sunday morning, come back. We'd have 2-3 hour service, 4 hour services, come back, have another 2 hour service Sunday night. How many years did we do that? Come back on Wednesday night, full blown. So had revival. How many nights do we have revival? Was it 16 weeks, 18 weeks, something? Every night for revival, never missed a night. People come here every night. Guys, we got to get our commitment back. We've got to get our calling back. There's a million things we can do, but is there anything more important than getting close to God? If we want to get things on us, we've got to get it in us, okay? So I'm going to challenge you. Who are you going to bring to church next week? Next service. Every week you should be trying to find someone. Who can we reach? Who can we bring? Bring them to service, okay? All right, one more time, put your hand up. Just put your hands up. Lord, I bless them. And I thank you for each and every person here. These are the greatest sheep in the world, and I thank you for giving me the privilege to be their pastor. And I pray that every single one of them grabs the keys and unlocks the blessings that you have for their life. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. And I bless them today personally, Lord. Amen. Thank you, everybody.